Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker that needs to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Then our third passage that we memorized was 2 Corinthians 3, 5 and 6. Let's say that one together. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And then last time we memorized Hebrews 12, actually 1 through 3, I believe, here a month ago was your assignment. And you can grade your own paper right now, look at it, and if there's a word missing or words reversed, just put a check and on it. I'll go very slowly here. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. So just put the number wrong at the top of your paper, and why don't you pass them all to Linda right here. I'm going to collect them. I want to see how well you're doing on your memorization. Now, in Acts chapter 20, we're going to look at a verse that really ties into what Hebrews 12 just told us about the race that is set before us, and enduring, looking unto Jesus. And in Acts 20, 24, notice the same imagery. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy. Notice my race again, finishing the race. And the ministry which I've received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. You know, this is one of my favorite verses. It's ministered to me many times over the years, because it's easy to want to quit, or become discouraged, or to lose sight of what it's really all about in your Christian life. Now remember, when you're studying a verse, the first thing you always have to do is examine its what? Context. Then you observe its content. And then you can compare Scripture with Scripture to conclude. Those are the four C's always of Bible interpretation. So let's begin with the context, because this verse isn't floating in midair. It's actually part of the Apostle Paul's message to the Ephesian elders whom he met at Miletus. We see that in Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 17. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. So he didn't want to go back to Ephesus. He wanted to keep going on to Jerusalem, so he called them to meet him at Miletus. But notice the elders, plural, presbyteroi, of the ecclesia. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord." That's what his life was all about. "With all humility, grace orientation, with many tears and trials," and that's what ministry involves, "which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful or profitable, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to the Greeks repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And so in this passage, Paul reviews, first of all, his past ministry with these men. You know from the beginning I was serving the Lord. You know how I served the Lord. You know the message that I preached. And then he explains his present plans and how he plans to go to Jerusalem. But he knows that there's going to be chains and afflictions awaiting him. And then he goes on to explain their pastoral priorities. Verse 28, therefore take heed to yourself and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, episkopoi, to shepherd, poimano, to pastor the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. So this is their priorities. And then he warns them of future dangers from without and within. And then he closes his discourse with his own personal example, how he's coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel, how he's worked with his own hands, how he has sought to not only preach the truth, but practice it in a way in which there would be credibility between his life and his message, and that he was all in for Jesus Christ. And he wanted them as well to faithfully serve the Lord. And that's what the context is. So when we're coming up to verse 24, it's part of his present plans that he's sharing at that point. Now, we observe the content of Acts 20, 24. And the focus of Paul's ministry revolved around the message called the gospel. In verse 24, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself. Why? So that I might finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus. And what was that all about? To testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Now the word the gospel is literally that. It's ta euangelion. It's not a gospel, it's the gospel. The good news from God to man. And in a sense, there is no question that you and I have also been entrusted with that message of the gospel. It is a message we are to share, to preach, to proclaim from person to person, from place to place as the Lord leads and so forth. And that was his focus. He was a gospel-driven man because his gospel was the gospel of Jesus Christ. The second thing we see is his activity associated with this message involved testifying about it. To testify, an aorist, middle, infinitive of martyreo, in which we get the word martyr. See, a martyr is someone who gives testimony to his faith by dying for his faith. The word itself, though, doesn't mean to give testimony through death. It does carry the idea to bear testimony like a court witness on a stand under oath. In other words, when you come to the stand, I swear to tell the truth, all the truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. And you know, when you're a witness, you don't tell them what you don't know, you tell them what you do know. And that's exactly what Paul did. He was there to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. He loved grace. And therefore, he loved Jesus Christ because he had been saved by the grace of God that day on the Damascus Road when he met the risen Christ and his life was never the same. His destiny was immediately changed. And remember, according to Acts chapter 26, the Lord Jesus spoke to him in the Hebrew tongue, which is really interesting. I was just noting that recently. I thought that was really interesting. And remember, he said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he says, Lord, who are you? Now, assuming that Paul, one, obviously knew Hebrew to understand it, and two, responded in Hebrew, wouldn't you normally? respond in the same language you heard? When he said, Lord, who are you? Lord would have been Yahweh Jehovah. Who are you? I'm confused. Because who am I persecuting? How am I persecuting you? And remember, the voice came from heaven. The light came from heaven. It was clearly divine. That wasn't the question. But I'm confused because how can Yahweh be speaking to me and yet I'm persecuting him? And he said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. And at that point, he made the connection. Jesus is God. It is what these Christians have been telling me. He is God who became a man. He was the Messiah. He was the one who died for our sins. He's the one who rose again. It all came together for him in a moment. Just like the gospel came together for you in a moment. It may have been a process to get there, but when you got there, the light came on, and you finally understood who Jesus Christ was, what he did, and how it was by grace through faith alone. And now he eagerly and willingly testified of that message. Which leads us to number three. The nature of this message is all about the grace of God. It's the gospel of the grace of God. Now, this stands in contrast to the gospel of the kingdom, which was a Jewish message preached by our Lord and his disciples and by John the Baptist for a period of time when the Lord Jesus came on the earth. Now, that is not to say we never teach about the kingdom. In fact, in Gibbs, phase two, next Monday night, I'm devoting the whole evening to teaching on the kingdom. When we go over dispensational truth, we teach about the kingdom. For the Jews who would go, where Paul would go into the synagogue, they would want to know about three things, and this is why the book of Matthew was written. Number one, who is Jesus Christ? Number two, if he is the Messiah, why did they reject him? And number three, since they rejected him, is God going to still fulfill his promises? And that's what the book of Matthew is all about. So look at verse 25, the very next verse here. And see now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem. Excuse me, verse 25. And indeed now I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God. Will see my face no more. He preached the kingdom of God. He didn't preach replacement theology. What he did preach, though, the kingdom of God, I think, was a dispensational understanding of what God is doing now versus what he's going to do in the future and how does it all fit together, which would be something that would be a critical thing. But if you notice closely, it does not say he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Though it's referenced in Acts that he preached the kingdom of God, you will not find the gospel of the kingdom. Now, after the church is raptured, the gospel of the kingdom, Matthew 24:14, will be preached again because the king is coming. And he's going to set up his kingdom. But during this dispensation of grace in which Christ is building his church, we're not preaching the gospel of the kingdom, but though we certainly teach about it. In fact, the longer I'm saved, I appreciate what the kingdom's going to be about. I understand more what the kingdom's going to be about. I understand that the whole plan of the ages is moving towards that reclaiming of the planet by Jesus Christ on behalf of God and the setting up of a kingdom on earth. It's all moving to that. The church is a parenthesis in that plan that was unrevealed in the Old Testament and has now been revealed through Paul and the other apostles. But grace is the nature of the message we preach today. And everyone was saved by grace. No one's ever been saved by their works. But this message has aspects to it and truths related to it that go beyond anything ever previously revealed. Which leads us to point number four. The anticipated issues to deal with in fulfilling his ministry involved obstacles and afflictions. You see, in verse 24, when he says, but none of these things move me, whenever you see these things, it has to have an antecedent. Question, what things? Well, what did he say? That chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me. In other words, he had great resolve in still going to Jerusalem to fulfill his ministry and preach the gospel of grace, even though he knew there were obstacles, there were chains, and tribulations that awaited him. In other words, prison was waiting for him. And the word tribulation speaks of pressures and obstacles. And by the way, in running the race and finishing the course God has for you, there are many obstacles as well. Sometimes they're parents. Sometimes there's family. Sometimes there's the need for equipping. Sometimes there's learning to trust the Lord to provide. Sometimes it's anticipated resistance or criticisms or opposition or persecution. Sometimes it comes from believers, not just unbelievers. Maybe it's a lack of money. There's obstacles. There's afflictions. But then again, anything that's worthwhile always involves that, doesn't it? And isn't it incredible what people will do to get what they are driven to do? And Paul says, I'm driven because I've been given a ministry by the Lord to testify the gospel, the grace of God, and I want to finish my race and I want to do it with joy. Even though I know there's obstacles and afflictions ahead. And that's why, number five, the response to these things involved a determined resolve, as none of these things move me. You see the word but at the beginning of verse 24 is the Greek word Allah, and it stands as a strong adversative. It's contrasting. Yes, I know that chains and afflictions await me, but in contrast to that, none of these things move me. Now, this is a textual variant. This is not in some translations, the phrase, none of these things move me, and then the verse kind of picks up from there. I'm going to assume it's part of the original at this point. But one thing is clear, that thought is certainly there. None of these things move me, they don't deter me, they don't make me quit, they don't cause me to shrink back in fear, nor do I count my life dear to myself. And you know, there are many obstacles and issues in life. There's obstacles and issues in every week, there's obstacles in gifts. There's tests, tribulations, trials. There's surprise quizzes. There's, you know what? That's part of life. But he said, this doesn't discourage me. This doesn't detour me. This doesn't distract me. Like Daniel, he purposed in his heart. By the grace of God, he wanted to finish his course. But one of the reasons why none of these things move me is because he didn't count his life dear to myself. That's why. You see that word count? It's the Greek word logon, where we get logizomai again. And it carries the idea of to calculate by adding up the facts and come to a conclusion. He said, I've counted up the facts and I've come to the conclusion, my life is not dear to me. And the word dear there is the Greek word timion, and it means valuable. The ESV translated, I do not account my life of any value or precious to myself. You know why that was? Because his life wasn't about him. His life wasn't about his purposes. It was about the Lord's. And I am convinced if you could see people in hell for just 5 minutes, it would change your life. You know, it reminds me, and I should have found this quote. I mentioned it last week in the pondering for the other phase, but John Payton was a missionary to the South Pacific many years ago, 150 years ago or so. And he was brought by a ship there with a crew, and they dropped him off, and they were going to drop him off on this island where there were headhunters and so forth. One of the crew that dropped him off that was then going to leave in the boat said, don't you know, you're going to die. You're going to die doing this. And Payton's response was classic. He said, well, I'm not concerned about that. I died 25 years ago when I was saved. And I died with Christ. So Something on that order. That's really good. That's really good. You see, Paul wasn't hugging himself. He wasn't taking perpetual selfies. He realized he died with Christ. He was risen with Christ. He was a new creation in Christ. He was bought with a price. He was there to glorify God in his body and spirit, which are God's. And one of the reasons why we shrink back in fear from obstacles is because we have a high view of ourselves and we want to hug ourselves and so forth and so forth. He didn't have that. So led us to number 7. The desired objectives of Paul's life were to fulfill my race with joy and to fulfill the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus. Now I want you to notice closely the phrase again, so that I may finish my race. This reminds me of Hebrews again. The race that is set before me. See, he wanted to finish it. He wanted to complete it. And he didn't want to just do it by enduring. He wanted to finish my race with joy. And joy is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And by this, Paul is indicating to us that to fulfill this would require the enablement of the Spirit of God to accomplish it. He wanted to finish my course with joy and to fulfill the ministry which I received, aorist active indicative, from the Lord Jesus himself. You see, it was the Lord who gave him this ministry. And in a sense, it's the Lord who... The Holy Spirit is the one who appoints elders, Acts 20:28. The Holy Spirit is the one who gave you whatever spiritual gift or gift mix you have. God is sovereign in all of those kind of things. And whatever ministry the Lord has given to you as an ambassador for Christ in your sphere of influence, you want to finish that course. You want to end well. Some believers begin well and end poorly. Some begin well and in the middle they bomb and so they pick it up and they end well. Some don't do well for a long time and they end well. You know, whatever is done in your life, you want to end well. You want to finish the course. You want to complete the will of God. And by the way, this was his desire, so let's ask the question. So did he? Did he finish the course? Yeah, remember how 2 Timothy 4 goes? I have fought a good fight. I have finished my race. Finished my race. That's just what he wanted. I've kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me in that day, and not to me only, but also all them that love his appearing. Will you finish your course? To do so, you're going to have to be looking unto Jesus. To do so, you're going to have to realize the enablement of the Holy Spirit. To do so, you're going to have to keep in mind the big picture here. Because you easily get caught by all the details of life and forget, what's this all about again? It's about fulfilling the will of God. It's about running the race with joy. It's about fulfilling the ministry, whatever the Lord gives you, at whatever given time. And it's not just necessarily one. I mean, I watched the Lord go bing, 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 bing in my life. Just buckle up and walk by faith. See what he does. And don't shrink back in fear. Let God push you out of your comfort zone. And you know, sometimes I do that with believers here. You know, as you know, here next Friday, a week from Friday, we're going to Gambia, Africa for the first time. Wade Lilligard's going. Dale Pearson's going. They've never gone on a mission trip to teach yet. No, Wade went on a medical one once with me, but maybe twice. But he's never gone to teach before. And they've been teaching Romans here in the community Bible studies we have. And Dale's never taught overseas either. And we're teaching pastors. And Dale was like, ooh, this is way out of my comfort zone, you know. And Wade, too. I said, Wade, how would you like to teach? I said, have you ever taught? Well, yeah, a little bit in the military. I said, really? I said, where did you teach? He said, well, all over the world. I said, well, how'd you like to teach, you know, the Word of God? He goes, ooh, kind of like, that's serious. I like that attitude, though, instead of, oh, let me add it, you know. Some humility, sense of inadequacy is good, but they both were willing, and now we get a chance to go together, Lord willing, here. Teach the Word. Don't be afraid to let the Lord push you out of your comfort zone. Some of you are saying, well, just getting into Gibbs pushed me out of my comfort zone. Praise the Lord. And just let the Lord keep pushing you as needed. Finish that race. You know, the older I get, I think about that. I want to finish well. I want to be faithful. I want to persevere. I want to fulfill whatever the Lord has. And I want to redeem the time. Because you do think to yourself, you know, maybe you're going to have a heart attack someday, or you're going to get a stroke one day, or maybe a car accident and you're with the Lord, or whatever. I don't know how much time I have, and I don't know how much time you have. People a lot younger die. But you want to go to glory like my pastor used to say, with your boots on, serving Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word tonight and the opportunity to look into it and to even consider this verse. May we take these truths to heart. May we meditate on them. May you, by the Spirit of God, duplicate in our thinking the mindset of the Apostle Paul, who did not count his life dear to himself. And that's why obstacles and trials did not move him from his objective, as he desired to finish his race with joy and the ministry that you had entrusted to him in testifying the gospel of the grace of God. May we be faithful ambassadors for Christ in whatever sphere and way that you determine. And may we just want to be faithful stewards of your word and servants of Christ as we serve under your direction and by your enablement and for your glory. Thank you for each of these students. Encourage them to that end, I pray, in Jesus' name.